Thank you so much to Wizards of the Coast for having us for the Magic the Gathering Ambassador Program for Tarkir, Dragonstorm. Pre-release begins April 4th, and you can grab the set at your local game store on April 11th, or pre-order now on Card Kingdom or TCG Player. We hope you enjoy part one of our Tarkir Dragonstorm one-shot. Listen in as five friends take turns weaving stories through the tabletop game of their choice. This is 5 GMs in a Trench Coat.
Hello everybody and welcome to 5 GMs Presents, Tarkir, Weathering the Storm. Today we're going to be playing with...
I'm Jesse.
I'm Kim.
I'm Reed.
And I'm Tanlin.
We're going to start off in the sky. The sound of wind rushing past your face and cooling your skin or your scales is calming but exhilarating in a way that only things that could fly would know. The thunderous beat of your wings vibrates your bones, and Tanlin, would you tell us what you see through the eyes of a dragon?
I think there's a lot of green. Mm-hmm. And then there's the feathery, like, white of clouds overcast, and maybe some gentle warmth of the sun on top of them.
And I think from that, we hear a crack of thunder, and we see a strike of lightning in the distance. And the purple lightning and kind of the motion and fast, intense movement of high-speed winds and whipping sand. And we cut to a storm and overlooking the movement of a large group of people. And Jesse, through your eyes, what does it look like when you look down at your people in a migratory fashion as a dragon?
I think you're seeing... a community. They're moving together. They're helping each other out. Like, someone kind of drops something, another person picks it up and hands it to them. And everything is very organized. They have this down to a science. Mm-hmm. You can tell.
Yeah, and with a storm rolling, and I think it's the best time to move quickly and efficiently. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, they have it down to a science, and they break it down in moments. Break down the small settlement they had put up for maybe 3 days, maybe a week, and they've broken it down and they've begun to move with the storm. And another crack of lightning and another crash of thunder. We're walking. The way a four-legged beast that has just landed walks softly at first, almost like a plane when it first touches down, the wheels rolling on the ground, almost weightless before the rest of the weight of the plane lands. And then we gallop and take off again, take flight over numerous half trees with branching spirit tendrils being tended to by another group of people, armored and effervescent in a way. And Reed, what do we see through the eyes of your dragon?
I think there are big patches sort of groves, but you see some of the wood has been artificially bent into structures using nature itself. People have made a home in this kind of place. Mm-hmm. And people seem to be teeming, moving to and fro. There's a life going on sort of amongst these groves and trees, and bits of sand sort of whipping through that area.
That's beautiful. And I think through the eyes of the dragon again, we see this wood and the leafery and the greenness of the area kind of give and brown and then rapidly fall and disperse as we see a large clump of snow fall off of the peak of what I guess could be akin to some redwood or a pine. As we are soaring over towering trees covered in snow and a ground that's been made white by days of snow. And the cold is sharper here. And what do we see through your eyes, Kim?
What time of the year is it, you would say?
So I think that part of the problem with the dragon storms as they've been is that they've really thrown off what the time of the year would mean normally.
Okay, gotcha.
It's imagine if there was a typhoon in your town every couple of weeks situation.
Okay, cool. So then the norm for this area would typically be snow, but I think as we go further inwards, we start seeing patches of green, and it's almost like it's summer. You hear the birds. It's very vibrant. It's warmer here than I think you would expect from passing through. And you sort of see festivities going on when it's summer, especially for this area. They celebrate because the sun is out and they get to, you know, they're in the cold and they're traveling most of the time when they're in the cold. And so they finally get to settle and you kind of just see people wrestling, people communing amongst each other. It's just sort of like a happy little festival going on here.
Yeah. And I think that all of us have this bird's eye view shot of the world of Tarkir. And for a moment, we're free as large, scaly, flying beasts are. And Reed, you wake up to the sound of pelting rain on the outside of an inn, kind of slamming the weak window, a window that's probably been needing replacement for the past couple of years now, as it rattles and a bit of the water from the outside kind of dribbles in and maybe gets on the back of your hand. And you're holding something, and it is some sort of scale, large enough to fill your palm, but not so large that you can't close your fist around it. And maybe you pocket it for now. Would you like to introduce us to your character?
Curry, Curry Tell, is a half-orc. I think she does look at this kind of scale, holds it out to this. There's a blue drake that is curled up on her bed. And she holds it out to him for him to sniff a little bit. He kind of gives it one of those little, like, two sniff and then puts his head back down. She goes, all right, it's cool. Pockets it, her hair always intricately woven into a braid. And sort of a light green skin covered in freckles. She sort of dons on some leather armor and two short swords. Does her morning stretches and then looks down at Dog, who is, again, a blue drake with sort of these ridges and scales. And she goes, you need to do morning stretches. And he opens his eyes and then closes them. She goes, I'll get you to do them with me one day. All right, fine. And that's Curry, as I think she eagerly goes downstairs for breakfast and shoves Dog off the bed because she's like, you have to eat. I don't care. He's a very lazy drake.
Amazing. Yeah, and then we kind of pull into the other room. So as you walk down your down the stairs of this inn, you walk past another room. You see the bright flash of the purple lightning that's just outside, and you hear a rolling thunder. And Jesse, the bright flash of purple lightning alights your closed eyes. You know this lightning, you know the storms, and it wakes you, not in a panic, but in, well, your people often move when the storms are coming in this way, or move with the storm, so it's a thing you're always aware of or about when it's going. And would you like to describe yourself to us?
So I am also a half-orc. Oh, no, I'm just an orc. I'm just an orc. I'm 6'6". Just a big burly dude wearing furs, and he kind of gets up, looks out the window, observes the storm, and he looks over his equipment. The night before, he made sure that his axe was ready to go, so he's just starting to prepare to get traveling again.
I think that with that kind of flash of lightning, you sit up, and then shortly after there's another flash of lightning. The storm is closer than you'd like it to be for comfort. It appeared kind of out of nowhere maybe about a day or two ago, and either you were traveling this way for some reason, but you didn't think it was going to make it all the way here over the inn. The inn's tucked away, and you know that with a dragon storm comes dragons. With the dragons can come calamity. But with that second crack of lightning, with calamity on your mind, you see dragon wings in your shadow. Just for a moment, almost as if you had them, and you kind of reach to your back, and there's nothing, but there's just something off. It's not normal. I've never seen Shadow do that.
Oh. Well, Naran, you drank too much last night. He just kind of mumbles to himself and kind of starts getting his stuff together and to head down.
Very good. And then we'll go over to Kim. The warm or tropical wind that's coming in on the storm is unlike your typical snowstorms or blizzards. It's not biting, it's tepid and moist. It is hard to breathe, almost like you're partially submerged in water. Again, this building needs things replaced, and they haven't been. And so a lot of that moisture is getting in and settling in. And you just wake in an uncomfortable sweat with a burning palm. And you look, and there just appear to be claw marks not made by yourself, not bloodied, old even, but you've never been clawed in the palm before.
I think I'm looking at these, like, sort of claw marks in my hand, and you see she's around 5'5", 5'6", paler complexion, very, like, rosy cheeks, because she's typically in a very cold region right now. I think it's a little less. She has long black hair, kind of flowing, wavy, and right now I think after she's done, like, looking at her palm, she'll just sort of shake it off. And I think especially with the weather outside, we'll start kind of getting ready and suiting up. She'll put on like her typical gear, which is this sort of like, I guess, large jacket with like fur lining. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of like red, greens, and blue pattern like on it. And she just gets ready, probably start heading out downstairs.
Yeah, and I think the two of you probably come out at similar times. And as the three of you now, you two trailing a bit behind, all walk downstairs. Already awake and alert is Tanlin's character. Tanlin, you woke up a bit ago, and there was a loose fang lodged kind of in your armor. Awkwardly, in like the leather of whatever you're wearing. I think you pulled it out. It didn't look like exactly like a snake fang, and I think maybe you pocketed it. And would you like to describe yourself waiting here?
You see, like, pearly white skin with snake scale impressions on it. So not quite snake scales, but like the illusion of them. Mm-hmm. Red, beady snake-like eyes and a pitted snake mouth. With just layered druidic robes all over them that aren't quite like rags, but more like natural silks, detailed with spiraling fungal patterning that's not embroidered but grown within the fabric. And I think they're just kind of tidying up their many scrolls and such, and, you know, affixing them to themselves as they get ready for the day.
So you all, again, come down, getting ready for the day. The storm is closer than you'd anticipated the night you went to bed. And the owners of the cabin seem a bit disgruntled, more at the fact that they're going to have to bunker down. And they have patrons here at the moment. They come out. Hey, would you all like some food, some drink? What are we... I know... The windows don't hold up the best, and I do apologize if any of us had any issues. I can go make sure the room's tidied up if you intend to stay another night. If not, what would you like?
I'd like a nice hearty breakfast.
Okay.
Something quick.
Something quick as well.
I'll take something hearty if you have it. Two plates.
Oh, two plates.
I want three plates.
I want four plates.
You know what? I'm actually really hungry. I'll take six plates.
I don't have that many plates. It's okay. I'll bring both of you two plates.
Do you have a bowl? A big bowl?
I'll bring both of you one really big bowl. I'll use our prepping bowls. I'll bring those. Please. Perfect. Please don't order anymore. And she's going to walk away.
My dog's very hungry.
And as she walks away, the kind of swift motion of the innkeeper betrays maybe the fact that they're not just an innkeeper. They do live in an area where the Jeskai are common. You do know the Jeskai. They are practitioners of the way. They are practitioners of magic and of martial arts. So perhaps there's a little more to this innkeeper than they're letting on, but they're older and obviously don't want to deal with too much shenanigans. They quickly whip you up a hearty meal, two of you large prepping bowls full of different kinds of I think it's sort of a breakfast of vegetables. It's like root vegetables and things of that sort. They're easy to make and they're easy to store, beans and vegetables and whatnot. And they're quickly brought to you. And you guys, again, sit maybe in a group, maybe a little dispersed, but relatively close as the crackle of lightning and thunder kind of rolls in outwardly. What would any of you like to do?
I'm just chowing down.
I'm also chowing down. Can I examine the scale that I have in my pocket now that I'm a little bit more awake and Dog's a little bit more awake? We can kind of put our heads together on this.
No, absolutely.
I would love to make... I'll make a nature or survival check, mayhaps.
Nature, I think, would be fantastic.
I think nature makes more sense as well. I'm not as good at it because I'm not as smart, but we'll see how it... Ooh, that's a zesty 7.
Oh, beautiful. It's a scale. Maybe it's a scale-shaped rock. You're not 100% sure.
Oh, no. I think Curry like kind of bites it, goes, could be a rock. I don't know, Dog.
Oh, my
kinda
goodness.
Holds it up. But is this inn so cheap that rocks are just falling through it into our hands while we sleep? And are the beds so comfortable that I don't wake up when a rock falls into my hand?
You guys do all hear Curry talking to their Drake named Dog and biting what looks to be some kind of scale and referencing it as a rock and talking about rocks falling through the ceiling.
I think Sithlin, which is the name of my character, I didn't say that earlier, Sithlin, leans over to, you know, the other most confident in their mind, like, to Dore and be like, is that supposed to be in her mouth?
I don't quite... Could I make a check to see if it's a rock?
Sure.
Oh, am I with a bunch of dum-dums?
Just to make sure, because she keeps saying that it's a rock, but it looks like a scale, but...
Yeah, you can give me a survival, or no, a nature or an arcana.
I seem real confident it's a rock, and that confidence is carrying this.
That'll just be a 12?
It's not like any rock you've ever seen. I think that's what you could get with
okay,
a 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just look back at Sithlin and I'm like, it doesn't look like a rock per se, although I haven't touched it yet, so I can't 100% confirm. Does it look like a rock to you?
Yeah, can I also just like, what are you putting?
Sure.
What are you putting in your mouth?
Open your mouth!
Oh.
The 17 for perception? It's a plus 8.
It's a dragon scale.
Ah. Curry, I believe that is a dragon scale. And like kind of like reaching towards it to try and like take it to look at it.
There's a moment of vacant staring and she goes, "Oh, you know that doesn't make more sense," and we'll hold it out to Sithlin. Like give it a check. It tastes like granite would be my best guess. I've licked a lot of granite in my life and just hands over the scale.
Interesting. And then I think they'll take it. It's like, was this on your persons? And as I'm like examining it, I'll roll to examine.
It was in my hand when I woke up.
Okay, and that is a
19. Can I help?
Yes, you can roll with advantage because you know it tastes like granite.
18 on the die plus 8.
Okay. You hold this thing up. You know it's a dragon scale. It is interesting that it tastes like granite. Why would a dragon scale taste like granite? And the longer you look at it, it's this thing of... It's almost like you're holding something or holding a part of someone, but it's not a part of the dragon. It feels naturally attuned to Curry, and that's all. It's a little odd.
Granite, you said. And then I'll hand it back to you because obviously it belongs to you.
There's another roll of thunder and another crack of lightning. Closer this time, Neron, you know when it's time to go. You know when, if you don't want to be in the storm, you would need to move soon. Whether or not you want to stay here another night and deal with the storm and help these people out is really your call. But you do know that if you don't leave now, and even if you do leave now, there's a chance you're getting caught in that storm.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do a Scooby-Doo-ass bite of my food. And be like, well, we better get going.
I agree.
Yeah, the storm doesn't sound forgiving.
They often aren't.
So as you guys begin kind of prepping and packing up, maybe you go clear your rooms out a bit, you hear the door slam open. Oh. And then shut forcefully, the way you have to force a door shut when the winds are a little too strong to keep it open. And there's more dragons than I've ever seen. We have to, and they immediately, you hear them pushing things into the window. And so the woman who had helped you and served you food is, sir, what are you talking about? And she's trying to talk him down as he's attempting to, what sounds like, board up these windows by himself.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
Hands up. What do you mean, dragons? I thought we handled all that.
No, the storm. There's so many dragons in the storm. I've never...
The oncoming storm?
Yes, this is more dragons than I've ever seen in any storm. My whole caravan's gone. I had 20 people with me. And he kind of falls back. They're not... They're monsters. They're not like dragons. They're not like regular... They're not like that. And he points at Dog. We've seen scaled lizards with wings. That's not... They're different. There's something... And the wind intensifies, and he's still trying to board up the windows.
Can I look out the
window? Yeah, I also wish to look out the window.
Yeah, let's take a peek.
Roll to look out window?
Sure, yeah. Everyone can give me perception rolls if you'd like.
Nope, I got a nat 1. I don't see shit.
I got a dirty 20.
I got a 7. I'm retiring this die for today.
Oh, no.
Bad dice.
Yeah.
A 17.
Okay. So a dirty 20 and a 17. You guys look out. And you know these storms, Neron. When the early kind of portion of the war was going, when we were still losing against the dragons and the dragon lords, your people still used the lightning and still tried to master the lightning. And it wasn't until your spirit dragon was around that was summoned by your leader that aided you in these wars that you truly began to understand these storms in a way that you hadn't before, even as much as you spent time in them. And you watch as with each crack of lightning, wings and limbs dance around, almost chasing the lightning and trying to keep pace with it. On your end, your keen, sharp eyes pick through the almost pixelation of the distance of the storm. Again, it's far, but far in the way that a storm is, that it'll be on you in moments, but for the time being, it's too far and you have to squint to try to see. And what you make out isn't, it doesn't disagree with what the man said. These dragons don't abide by your traditional draconic rules. Some of them look to be made out of muck, and some of them look to be made out of smoke. Some appear to be regular dragons. This is a maelstrom beyond your recognition. And it's headed your way.
In seeing that they're like almost like constructed, do you think I could roll a arcana or something to try and like decipher that in any sense?
Mm-hmm. Any of you could also give me a history to see if you know exactly what's going on right now.
Dirty 20.
Dirty 20, very good.
Oh, an 18?
I didn't go to school, natural one.
You two rolled fairly high. So on your, you were doing a...
Arcana.
You would know that when the storms get this volatile, there tends to be an agent acting in a way that would cause it to get this volatile. The storms are natural, especially on Tarkir, and especially after what the Khans did to win the war. But a storm to this extent tends to have some other thing occurring beyond it. There's been stories, and this kind of bleeds into your history role, of the great dragon Ugin controlling the storms, and in his absence, maybe the storms losing efficiency or power in that sense. And there's also been more rumors, less stories, because it's current that an angel came into an inn and recruited the Jeskai Wayfinder, Narset, to go on her way and help prevent these storms from spreading to wherever the angel's from. People had a hard time picking that apart, but it sounded like these storms aren't just a Tarkir problem anymore. And that means that the storms are growing stronger, and that means that something could be affecting them. There are a lot of things and people that would benefit from things and people being destroyed by these dragons. And historically, who knows, right? Yeah. But it's telling that it's this large, that there must be something, at least something, to some extent occurring to make it this large.
Are you ready to get wild with the new TTRPG? Trenchcart Raccoons is a fast, fail-forward TTRPG of chaotic heists, cartoon logic, and glorious disaster. Each player is one raccoon in a stack, all pretending to be a very suspicious human in a trench coat. Everyone rolls to help or hinder the main action, and every plan gets hilariously derailed by your raccoon's wild impulses. Steal cursed loot across a world of glam horror, glittering galas, mad science, and cryptic conspiracies. Think the slick heist energy of Sly Cooper, the camaraderie of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and the paranormal absurdity of Gravity Falls, all jammed into one stack of disaster raccoons. Followers that back at pledge level tier get a free glow-in-the-dark raccoon D6. Trenchcart Raccoons is launching mid-October on GameFound, and you can follow their preview page now to be notified when their campaign goes live at GameFound.com.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder, a podcast where each week, me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we both have the same light bulb moment. I'll mention that I've heard like stories and more recently rumors about an angel coming to an inn, much like this one, to help recruit someone to fight these types of storms. And then the story is about Ugin with this storm nonsense.
And Ugin's one of those things that's like a whisper on the wind kind of thing. Like it's an old story like we all tell, right?
So does that mean this dude is an angel that came in?
Why don't you ask him?
I'm going to go to the guy that came in and be like, are you an angel?
Help me board up these windows, please. You look strong. Get that table.
Okay, I pick up the table.
Okay.
Put it against that. He's like, he starts just directing you into like barricading the area.
As we're doing this, could I make some sort of like insight or something to see if boarding up is the best thing to do with this storm coming in?
Mm-hmm. Neuron can make an advantage roll with this, trying to figure out what he knows about the storm. Like, pretty much kind of the best way to go about this.
16?
With a survival?
Yeah.
A dirty 20.
So the 16, you know that if that storm does come directly overhead, boarding up is another plank to break through. So it's not going to hurt. It's always nice to have a little more protection. But if that storm gets here, there's going to be a fight. Maybe not directly, not like a targeted fight, but storms and dragons are uncaring about the little things that are underfoot. And you know that. And so boarding up will help to an extent. It won't guarantee safety, but it will help to an extent. You know that if you don't want to deal with the storm, you need to leave now. And there's still not a guarantee that you won't have to deal with the storm if you leave now. Now, while you're boarding it up and on a 20, you smell it in the air. The sulfuric breath of flaming moths kind of anchoring itself to your nostrils now. They're close. If you don't want you and these people in here to be in for a fight. You try to leave now. If you want, you hunker down and try to fight. Those are the two options you know in your moment you have right now.
Okay. So I'm just going to say, well, if we stay here, we're going to get into a fight, or we can try to brave the storm and escape.
I was going to suggest perhaps evacuation.
That might be our best move here.
Let's do it then.
I wanted to circle back to that idea that storms of this caliber are like made in a sense.
Yes, amplified. They have to be amplified by someone,
yeah,
or something.
Specifically like that amplified. Do I know, because like conduits and stuff like that, like placement, if we could find, you know, what's amplifying this, mm-hmm. like, is there anything I can pull from that sort of like idea of things to try and figure out if we could find a location, or if it would just be in the middle of the storm, or like something like that, you know, like the eye of the storm, or if it's like off.
Yeah, you can try to kind of use your own amount of knowledge to put it together.
Nice, you're rolling well.
19 plus 8 arcana.
So you know that whatever it is likely either an extremely powerful magical source on the outside or a source from the center. There's two things that it could be. Is one, something extremely powerful influencing it from the outside, which if that's the case and whatever it is malevolent, you're not in a good space. If it's from the center, whatever it is in the center being taken out could help. And it tends to be, if it's in the center, it's less intense, less guaranteed powerful.
Okay.
It could just be an amalgamation, you know, a malforming.
Something that got kicked up into the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone put it there, perhaps. Okay, I'll just keep that in the back of my mind for now while we focus on escaping and finding safety.
Are we the only people in this tavern, including like the innmaker and now the frantic person saying let's board things up? Are there any like infirmed or children or anything?
There's no one sick and no children. There are young people, probably like late teens. And then there's a handful. So I'd say there's probably like a small group of workers here that work with the innkeeper. It's a fairly decently sized inn. Those are the teenagers. They all wear the similar garb of the Jeskai. And then there's about four other patrons just from Tarkir, just about the land kind of traveling. And then there's the guy that just came in and you guys. So in total, that makes 9 plus you guys, I believe.
Okay. So should we leave now or what's the plan? And I'm going to look over at Neron because I feel like he knows movement the best.
Yeah, I'm going to look at everyone here and kind of be like, does it look like they may be able to brave the storm?
Yes, the only problem you have is convincing the guy that came in. And he's racking up a lot of fear, which is going to make getting everyone to leave a little harder. And he has not mellowed out. As you guys are talking your plan out, he's still boarding windows up, running to every room practically, like getting people out and be like, we need to board up these. Like, he is truly, he's creating a storm in here.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, I could try to intimidate him, get him to sit down and be quiet.
Okay.
So I'm going to grab him and like pull him over to like the middle, have him sit down on a chair and be like, sit down and be quiet. We need to discuss what to do. And I'm going to use one of my lucky points to give myself advantage.
All right. Sounds good.
Ooh. Let's see. 9 plus 4.
A 13. Here. Jesse. Neron sits him down and begins kind of making himself bigger and talking to this guy. And I think in his franticism, he, for a moment, isn't even aware that you're really talking to him, even though you've sat him down or above him. And then there's a crack of lightning, and your shadow is a lit, and these wings appear again, and you don't see it as your shadow's behind you this time, because a crack of lightning came from the window that has not been boarded up, but he sees it, and he stops. All right, man, whatever you say. Can you get us out of here? And... yeah.
Did we see that?
Yeah, probably.
Huh.
Ah, sick.
Heck yeah.
Sorry, I just got really excited. Noted. I think there is a click, a moment of like, I have a scale. He had shadow wings. that's as far as I think Curry's gotten.
I'm going to say, I think our best chance is to try to get out, to evacuate, get us all out, but we're going to have to work together.
Okay, you think we could really get through the storm?
Yeah, I've done this 100 times.
Are you lying or is that true?
He doesn't count that high. He doesn't know how much 100 is.
You've done it a lot.
Yeah, 100 is a lot. And he's done it a lot.
Oh, okay. I trust you, man.
As you kind of rally everybody, it's quick. Everyone here is mostly a traveler except for the innkeeper. And the people of the Jeskai, the people of the Way, tend to travel light in general. They don't have a lot to keep on them. They quickly, everyone gathers up, gets ready. And there's another crack, but it's not lightning or thunder. It's wood splintering as the top of the inn, kind of right where you guys are at, the main area of the inn, gives, and a large rock has fallen through. Maybe from the winds of the storm have dislodged it. You guys are in a mountainous region. And then there's a window shatter. We are going to roll initiative.
I'm
going
to use my Battlemaster ambush to add a superiority die to my initiative.
Sounds good. Kree, what did you get?
That's an 8.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Neron, what'd you get?
I got a 17.
All right. Sidlin?
11.
Direct.
A solid 9?
9.
Good lower.
I thought you said 19 for some reason.
No,
earlier.
I said 9.
All right. So the way this is going to work, you begin to hear the light wing beats of smaller dragons and drakes as the winds have carried them further. The reason I had you roll combat is this is more of an area effect, like escape combat, less than like fighting things combat. On your turn, what you'll have to do is you'll have to... you have your two regular options, and then you have a command option. So your command option can be to give one of your friends a bolster against some kind of thing that's occurring, or to move up to 2 of the 9 people that are not you, some like with you practically. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so it starts off, a large boulder has fallen through, cutting off about almost half of this area. The front of the inn is beginning to get pelted by smaller dragons that begin to kind of climb in. Flames are being lit in different areas. Lightning cracks out front. Small cratering and burning of the ground. Your first Neron, where do you want to go to escape?
Can I just scoop up a couple dudes too?
Sure, yeah. You're fairly strong. I will say, if you scoop up dudes, you are going to have... I'll give you disadvantage on dexterity stuff.
But I have danger sense.
Does that give you advantage?
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, then it balances out. You still have flat rolls.
All right, yeah. So I'm just going to grab just the 2 closest dudes to me, throw them over my shoulder, and just start running.
All right, yeah. So you've taken off. What direction are you going? I need a direction from your chick. Are you going to try to go out the front where the small dragons are coming through, or are you going to try to find an alternative exit?
Yeah, I'll look around. Is there like a big window or something?
Yeah, there's windows all over this place. You could go to one of the other rooms and go out, or you can just go straight out like one of the windows that's facing the other way.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go out a window.
Yeah, you run to this window.
I do
window.
Have 40 feet of movement too.
Oh, wow, really?
I'm a quick boy.
You're very quick. Yeah, you run, and there's this little interesting thing that happens when you run, and normally the pace between foot stomp on your run is the pace of your gait. That's how fast you run. You know when your feet should be hitting the ground. But there's moments just after when your foot should hit the ground that your foot hasn't hit the ground yet, and then your foot hits the ground, almost as if you're gliding for a few couple of seconds. Practically imperceptible. He's moving very fast to you guys. He's moving quickly. You know you're moving just a little differently than normal, and you make it to this window. You still have an action. That was your movement. What would you like to do?
I'm going
to
tell them one of the guys to open the window for me.
Yeah, I'll let you. I'll say that's your command. The guy shimmies open the window successfully, and then you're going to pop out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you get out of the window. I'll say that'll take half movement, and then you can move another 20 feet.
Okay.
So you've made it 20 feet out. The outskirts of the storm is on top of you guys, so it's raining hard. There's lightning, there's thunder, there's little dragons that have been carried by the speed of the wind. I need you to give me just a luck roll to see if any of these little dragons see you guys.
Oh, I got a nat 20.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You find a perfect cover. this is your element. You're in the storm. And we'll go to Cithlin.
Oh, perfect. I'm next. I would like, because it's 30 feet from me. Are you too far, Jesse? I don't think so. You moved 20 feet out.
Yeah, it took half movement. So, I mean.
Yeah, okay. I'll do Pass Without Trace as, you know, we start following
okay.
the leader.
So, yeah, you've done Pass Without Trace. Are you going to begin to move?
Yes.
Okay. As you do, because you're lowing, you're so much further behind initiative than Naran was, mm-hmm. more of this place is beginning to give. So you have kind of three options here. You can attempt to go towards the window that Naran came from. However, there's dragons climbing in from it. They're small. They're small. They're almost like, I would say, just, you know, fruit bats.
Yeah,
they're fruit bat size. They're yeah. they're big. Okay. It's big for a bat, but they're not big for a dragon. They're climbing in that way. So if you go that way, you have to deal with either a dexterity roll or possibly some attacks. If you ignore the dexterity roll and just try to jump through, there's more debris falling through from kind of the far left hand side of that direction. So if you try to kind of loop around, you have that problem, and the fire is spreading. So if you try to go out the front, you'll have to attempt to avoid the fire, or you can attempt to remedy one of these problems. I'm not sure how.
I already casted a spell. Do I have any cantrips? No, I think I'd, I don't want to deal with little creatures. I think I'll go the way that things are falling and okay. have to deal with that.
Sounds good. So, you're going to begin running that way. Give me a dexterity roll.
That's a 3.
All right, yeah. So, it's a pretty intense failure. And so, two stones fall. Now, the area's begun to get pelted with stones and clumps of kind of frozen sky almost. We have hail breaking through this old inn. Tanlin, you're going to take 9 damage as you take 2 little clumps of ice to the shoulder, slipping past the dragons and moving your speed. You've not cleared out, but you've gotten to a window. You only had your command left. What would you like you to use your command for?
I think I'll just tell people to go and follow the big guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Follow the orc.
Yeah, so 2 people are going to quickly come to your window. You do see that they might have a struggle because there's a couple of small dragons there. Would you like to do anything, Naran, to get make a distraction, or are you just going to let the people deal with it themselves?
Can I just, like, yell to get the dragon's
yeah,
attention?
Yeah, absolutely. You're big enough. They didn't know you were behind them. You're larger than they are, so they're going to look at you and just... And they both kind of, there's 3 of them, and they all 3 kind of like rear up like cobras. Give me a try to scare them.
All right. 19.
Again, these cracks of lightning are doing you so many favors. As they raise up against you, the lightning cracks again, and you're lit again for a moment. I think this time you see your own shadow as they see it, and they take flight away from the window for probably just a moment as they're still circling like birds of prey or like birds that are carrions, right? So that was your guy,
yeah,
your turn.
Everyone should be Pass Without Trace did it.
Oh, yeah. So everyone gets to, except for Jesse, right? Because he wasn't in range, Neuron.
It's 30 feet.
His movement is 40 feet.
Yeah.
And then he moved 20 feet out. So he's out of range.
He's out of range.
But everyone else Pass Without Trace. Perfect. And we have Duray.
I'm gonna call for my bear.
Okay.
yeah. She's probably just hanging out upstairs because she's a little bit of a diva. And now there's things happening.
That's beautiful.
And so she comes down. I'm gonna hop onto her name is BB.
Oh,
I'm gonna
really
hop
good.
Onto her. And then I would like to use my command action to like get one of them to hop on.
Sounds good. Yeah, one of them's like, of course. Like, who's gonna say no to getting on a bear?
Yeah, that's the safest place. She's got like their little like teamer guard, yeah. like a little headpiece and all that.
There's
thing.
Two places that are the safest. It's the back of that bear and this guy's arms. Like, that's, those are the 2 safest places in this entire area.
Yeah, and then how having a mount now works is that we have the same turn.
Awesome.
And so we're just gonna move towards where Naran went. I don't know if we have to get out of a door or whatever because it was a window Naran went out of.
Naran's 6'6 and he went through it. So
okay.
I'll say you can fit your bear through it.
Yeah, okay, I wasn't sure. 100%. Yeah.
He was carrying 2 people when he went through it. So it's a big window.
Okay. We'll say it's a comically large window. yeah, then I'll just head that way towards the window because I just want to head the back of where like Naran is.
Okay, so going. You're going out that way also?
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, you clear through. you got someone on here.
Do I need to make any checks or anything?
No, because Naran had cleared out the dragons by yelling at them.
Slay, perfect.
But they are hovering over. Are you going to attempt to hide from them?
Yes, I have someone on my mount. Oh, we're not fine. That's a 4.
Yeah, so you see these little things lock onto you, the three of them that are kind of flying around. But you're on your big bear, lumbering around. And then we will go to Kree.
So I'm seeing mounts and people who are very strong, and I go, these are amazing ideas. I whistle over to Dog, and I pulled out a piece of jerky, and I pat him on his head, casting Enhance Ability, giving him bull strength.
Oh, yes.
And technically, he is size medium, so I think, imagine, he, like, you know how lizards puff up?
Uh-huh.
That's just kind of what he does, and I just get on his back, and I go, all right, grab a guy. And he just grabs somebody, going, you're going to be okay, I promise. And he has 40 feet, so we're going to just head out the same way of the window.
Amazing, yeah, so you guys have all cleared out. you've run off to the side, so we've taken 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people have made it outside. There's still 3 people left inside with you. As the fire is spreading, and yeah, you climb out. Are you going to try to stealth as well, or are you going to let these things see you?
I will attempt to stealth. Okay. I have one of the teens working here with me, so might as well.
And you do get a +10 because you were passed without traced.
I am aware, and you know what? We're gonna use that because that's a 13, but plus the 10, that's a 23.
Oh, very good. Yeah,
looking
so
good.
You come through and immediately, like, you guys kind of roll into an area with a kind of overhanging rocks and whatnot. Again, it's mountainous, and also there's a big bear that's a little more of a distraction, and so you manage to kind of slip into a little crevice away from that. Anything else for you, Kree?
Can I use my commander action to get 2 more people out, or is it picking up a guy part of my commander action?
So I'll let the picking up the guy be an action for your for Dog, and I'll let you command 2 more people out.
I'll command 2 people, kind of just cool. Doing like a follow me
yeah.
Sort of situation.
Perfect. So 2 more people quickly scramble out of the window. They take kind of heed and hide where you're hiding. You're kind of standing off. You've gotten the attention of the things, but they're scared of you. They see you. They're still hesitant of the moment, so right now you guys aren't in any imminent danger. And then we will go back up to Naran. You guys are all outside. There's 1 person left. There's 2 people left inside. One is Sithlin, and the other is, I believe, the innkeeper will be. She'll likely make sure everyone's out.
I think my priority is more like getting everyone organized and like together, as opposed to like, you know, because I assume that if she's still in there, they can.
Yeah,
and we did get the vibe that the innkeeper was capable.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think I believe those two are capable enough to where I think my focus is more getting everyone organized and together.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, so you begin to kind of organize the group. These little dragons are still circling. Yeah, and then we'll go over to Sithlin. It's you and the innkeeper left in here. The flames have spread faster than you anticipated, but they're not behaving the way flames do as the wind and the water mixes with them. They begin to take shape, and there's a dragon here. And it's not these little dragons. In fact, some of the little dragons that had come through the hole that the rock had made have fled at the sight of this dragon as it kind of moves unnaturally, but in the most natural way as it's made of element, and begins. And you feel this warmth of breath that has been made by wind passing through the flames of its body. And it is a dragon made of the elements. It towers. It fills this room. And the flames get alight in different areas. This inn is going to come down. What do you want to do?
I realize I can wild shape without breaking concentration, and it's a bonus action. So I'm going to bonus action wild shape into a horse and let the lady get on me.
Very good.
Ride into the night.
Yes. Yeah. So you quickly wild shape. This dragon has its eyes locked on some prey now as you gallop out that back window. The little dragons that were surrounding you guys have all begin to take flight as the storm has erupted closer, and the entire place has gone up in flames now as these flames are growing rapidly. And then you quickly see those flames become wings as they consume the inn in moments, truly moments, seconds even. You've made it out, everyone's out, but this inn itself in its ashes has become a ginormous dragon.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of our Tarkir Dragonstorm one-shot, Weathering the Storm. You can find our wonderful guest Reed on Instagram at reedzbooks or on StoryQuest Show. StoryQuest is an actual play platform focused on heartwarming and cinematic storytelling in bite-sized packages. All of the folks there are very wonderful. I highly recommend you go check out their show. If you liked us, Five Gems in a Trench Coat, you can find us on our social medias at Five Gems in a Trench Coat pretty much everywhere except for Blue Sky, where we are at 5gmsofficial.bsky.social. You can follow us there or check out our website, 5gemsinatrenchcoat.com, to find out more about where to find us, other mini stories we've done in the past, and our main campaigns. If you'd like to support our content further, you can go to ko-fi.com/5gemsinatrenchcoat. It takes a lot to sustain this trench coat, so we'd appreciate any tip you give. You can also check out some great art we've had for the podcast, done by our in-house artist Tanlin at Gremlin Frog Art, FROGGART at the end. Thank you so much, and be sure to tune in for part two of this one-shot, releasing later this week.
Did you load these dice so I'd play magic?
Yeah, that was actually my goal. It's like, if Jesse does well enough, I'll build him a Mardu deck, and it'll look just like his guy, and then he'll play it. Me, when I build Jesse a Mardu deck, I'm like, Jesse.
Yeah,
that's how we get Jesse magic. Anyways. Yeah. Hey, howdy, hey, thank you for listening to 5 Gems in a Trench Coat. Be sure to follow us on social media, at 5 Gems in a Trench Coat on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok, and at 5 Gems Official on Blue Sky. You can also check out our website at 5gemsinatrenchcoat.com. We're also on YouTube. Just search up 5 Gems in a Trench Coat to watch us play video games and other variety content. If you like this episode, please rate us 5 stars and leave a little comment. And if you'd like to support us further, you can leave us a little tip on our Ko-Fi at ko-fi.com/5gemsinatrenchcoat. Thanks, and catch you in the next episode.